It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants.
And coming up in this week's show, Comcast tries to screw the fans. Jet Li looks old, but it's for a reason, don't panic. And Oliver Queen is finally getting his goatee just like the comic book. It's about time. It's only been 7 seasons of the show. Well, technically 6, but it's the 7th season he gets it.
It is about time.
It took him long enough. I might not even bring it up the rest of the show, because I just did. That's all there is to it. Stephen Amell says the reason we haven't had it is because I don't look good with facial hair.
Well, see? Grow more than a pair. Grow a lot and wear it, dude. I don't care if you look good or not. That's the character.
That's the character, so there.
That's iconic. It's iconic.
It is.
And that's very cool.
There's a lot of other iconic things that are going to show up in this show, but we're going to start with... It's not iconic as such, as it is...
Ironic? No.
No.
Ionic? No.
Could be.
Atomic? No.
Plutonic.
I think I'll shut up. Go ahead.
It has to do with Comcast, so it's radioactive and poisonous. There, so it could be plutonic, just in a different kind of way.
Yes.
Comcast is offering to screw the deal that Disney and Fox are making to finally put Marvel back together, among a lot of other things. It's not just Marvel. But that's really what annoys a lot of fans, is that they want Fox to finally sell the X-Men and the Fantastic Four back to Marvel, who is owned by Disney, so we can get the Marvel Universe back in one piece. But no, Comcast has showed up and said, we're going to offer you $52.4 billion in cash. Not stock options, not, I don't know how, here's a check. You know, however they do that. I've never done a deal that big before. Go figure. But yeah, it doesn't saying that we're going to do the whole thing in cash. Doesn't that sound shady?
No, I mean, have you looked at your cable bill? I'm sure they have the cash.
Oh, in their back pocket, yes.
Yeah, it's very annoying, and for exactly the reason you said. I mean, come on, let us have this. Can't we have one? We have a lot of things, but I want one more thing. I want the Marvel Universe to be all together, so we can actually have, maybe a good Fantastic Four movie, which we'll get to another movie that Fox has done, which somehow they managed to do a great job with this, yet they've had 3 shots at the Fantastic Four, and they don't even
get all three of them.
They got 1.5 of the 4 characters right, so, and they totally destroyed the villain. They can't do the villain worth anything. No. Which is weird that they can do it on one particular character that they can do, and the others they can't.
They did better than the Harvey Korman Fantastic Four film, and I know someone's going to go, you know, you mean Roger Corman? No, I've seen the movie. It's Harvey Korman.
It's closer to Harvey Korman.
Wow.
If Harvey Korman had played Mr. Fantastic, I would watch that. I would go see that in a theater.
With Tim Conway as Mole Man.
No, Tim Conway is the thing. Come on now.
Oh.
Because he looks just like him, doesn't he? Anyway.
Well, then
yes.
Who is Lyle Wagner?
Oh, Lyle Wagner is Sue Storm. Come on. Come on now. We all know.
Okay.
Lyle Wagner. It must have been really weird. This is obviously way off topic, but what else is new with this show?
What? Us? No, can't be.
Wouldn't it be kind of strange to be Lyle Wagner with that group of talent? I mean, Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman, Tim Conway, the lovely Vicky. I mean, seriously, it's like you had to just feel like, why am I here? Because, dude. Anyway, Lyle Wagner, a wonderful talent in his own right. I mean, seriously, he was good at what he did. But
just not sure what that was.
Yeah, there's no Lyle Wagner retrospectives going on. So, just saying.
Just that rerun of that Golden Girls episode where he hooks up with Bea Arthur.
Ouch. That hurts just to
And he lost out to Sonny Bono in that particular... I don't know why I brought that up. Okay, moving on.
Yeah.
moving on to a movie that, frankly, I think it's going to flop anyway. It's called Show Dogs, which just looks like a bad idea. The premise is sending a police dog undercover at a dog show. But this is one of those movies where we understand dogs and they can talk to us and so on and so forth and whatever.
Yeah.
And it looked kind of cute and was sent to several festivals and stuff.
Did it?
No, not really.
It didn't look cute. It looked like
stupid,
bad TV commercial is what it looked like.
For Alpo.
Oh my God, it looks awful. Anyway.
It does, but apparently it's aimed at children, and kids will think it's cute, allegedly.
No, they won't.
Anyway, so there's apparently a section of this movie, which is the big section of the movie, where people, where they're going to do the dog show thing, and they really focus on how dogs... and we get this from the dog perspective, have to get comfortable with having their genitals inspected for the dog show. And that needs to having strangers come up and inspect their genitals. And it's okay for that to happen. You don't put stories like that in a kid's movie.
That's great for a kid's movie, isn't it?
Mixed messages? A bit, I think. I mean, that's the main thing I took away from this. The secondary thing, and I am not a dog person. I'm not a cat person. I'm allergic to anything with fur, which is why my daughter's getting a snake. You know, one of those things. Anyway.
Handle its genitals. Go ahead. Let's see you do it.
I don't understand the need to inspect the genitals of anything other than a potential lover, you know, or something. And not a dog, thank you. Why do you do that at a dog show? I mean, things like, oh, you have a lovely Pekingese, but I must inspect its testicles to make sure that it's a properly good Pekingese. It doesn't have testicles. What's wrong with it? It's a girl, you twit. Oh, well, can't win the dog show then. What the hell goes on at these dog shows?
Well, here's the good news. It debuted to a rip-roaring just under $8 million. In its initial week, and it's tracking for about another four, almost five.
Well, so, the good news that actually came out of this, though, that was the way it was originally released. But once it got out that, look at the genitals on this dog, et cetera, was a big thing, and letting strangers look at genitals, that was apparently edited out. Because someone went, that's a really bad idea. Because it is. So, I guess good for them, but bad for them for doing it in the first place. Thank you for correcting the problem, I guess.
Yeah, this is what annoys me so much about the entertainment industry in general, is like they think of something, oh, kids will like it, so it doesn't matter if it's utter crap or not, because they think, oh, you know, the parents will take their kids. And, you know, obviously some did. But maybe you should actually aim for something of, I don't know, just a remote amount of quality, something interesting, not utterly stupid and ridiculous and vile and disgusting. Yeah. And take your kids to go see that. The hell with these people. I hope they lose their ass on this, because it just looks terrible. Aside from the whole, oh, it's okay to have strangers fondle your genitals subplot, which
no.
Lovely. Just, God, like I said, it looks like a bad, like you mentioned, Alpo commercial from about 10 years ago. That's how lovely this thing looks.
What was Alpo the one with the gravy train?
That's actually Gravy Train.
Thank you.
Utterly, utterly stupid and horrible.
I used to like the Gravy Train commercials. I don't know why. I was never into Westerns or anything. I don't have a dog.
Gravy Train commercials were fun, watching the little dog chase.
The little chuck wagon.
The little chuck wagon. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We just lost half the people listening to the show.
Maybe it was actually Chuck Wagon brand dog food. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Even those commercials were 10 times better than neither of us are ever going to watch this piece of crap.
No.
Sometimes you can tell just from the trailer that it's a piece of crap. So shame on any parent who took their parents to this. Parent who took their children to this, or any parents who took their parents to it, because what are you thinking? Grandma doesn't want to watch this crap either.
That is true. Let's move on to, how about Jet Li, who has not been in the news much lately?
No, nothing.
Until lately. This. There was a photo taken of Jet Li, actually apparently a series of photos, taken of Jet Li talking about health concerns. And yes, he does have some. He's got lots of leg and spinal injuries because have you seen his movies? He does his own stunts. I'm amazed he can still walk at all. But in these pictures, I was trying to explain who he looked like to some people. And they said, I don't understand what you're saying. I said, okay, take James Spader from The Blacklist and make him ever so slightly Asian. That's what Jet Li looks like now in these pictures. And am I wrong? See, you looked him up before the show. Am I wrong on this?
No, you're not wrong on that. That's funny.
Because I looked at that and went, what the hell happened to James Spader? That's Jet Li. What the, what? Really? No. Now, it has nothing to do with his any injuries or any illnesses or anything. That's his makeup for his role in Mulan. He's apparently playing Mulan's dad or something. I get it now. It makes sense. We can stop panicking. Jet Li is fine.
He should be playing the ancestral grandfather on the other side.
He could be.
That's what it looks like to me. I would hope so.
He doesn't. He's got Deadpool's healing factor, so he's just fine. That's my segue.
I don't know if he's quite fine if he has Deadpool's healing factor, because it doesn't quite fix everything for
I didn't say Wade. He fixed everything.
Poor Wade Wilson. Anyway.
So that's my segue to a movie that you went to see this week.
I did go see this movie last week, which is why I asked if we were doing the show today or tomorrow, because that way I would have watched the movie today, but I watched it last night because deadlines for Deadpool. Deadpool is really, really fun. It's also really, really R-rated. That being said, I think it's a better choice for parents to take their small children to see Deadpool 2 than to see Show Dogs. but don't do that because it's really, really R-rated.
Yeah, don't do that.
Super violent because it's Deadpool. Super funny also because it's Deadpool. I'd say I enjoyed it about the same as the first one. In a lot of ways, it's better. But the first one, because the first one broke so much ground, this doesn't have the advantage of, wow, I haven't seen that before. Or I don't recall seeing that kind of thing before. You know, constantly breaking the fourth wall. Actually does less of it, I believe, in this film than they did in the first. Lots of in-universe references, but that they're addressing the real world, such as there's a, and it's in one of the trailers, so it's hardly a spoiler, and it's a throwaway line anyway, but at one point, Deadpool turns to Cable and says, you're so dark, are you from the DC universe? Which is awesome.
That works.
It totally works, and it's full of things like that, and it's, like I said, it's very, very funny. The plotting is very well done. Ryan Reynolds has a lot to do, of course, with the success of this franchise. There are three, not one, not two, there are three post-credit scenes. Mercifully, they all come very, very early in the credits, and they're back to back to back. So once you see the third one, you're free to leave, and you don't have to sit through the rest of the, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes of credits. A couple things I did want to mention. The soundtrack is awesome. It's not as awesome as like Baby Driver or the first Guardians of the Galaxy, which Atomic the second Blonde. Guardians of the Galaxy was, is also lovely. Atomic Blonde, right. But it's still great. Very awesome selection. But there is one moment, not moment, there's one scene in the film which really, really surprised me because it's a very tender, honestly, tender, sweet, poignant, romantic scene, which I did not expect to be in this movie. And it's set to Aha's acoustic take, unplugged take of Take On Me, and man, does it ever work. I mean, it's such a cool moment, and it's shocking that it's in this movie, because and it's not like it takes you out of the moment. It actually absolutely enhances the film. It should be in there, but it's so different from the rest of the movie, because the rest of the movie is just
I'm trying to crazy. Think if I've heard the acoustic version. I have a Jamaican version, which makes very little sense.
I had never heard this the unplugged version, and it's typically, a lot of times this happens with songs, when they slow it, when they slow it down, you know, take it down about a quarter speed, and actually, and maybe perhaps even drop the octave on it, drop right. the range on it, it changes the song. Like, Take On Me is a very cool song, and it's one of the best videos
Happy
ever.
Upbeat.
It's amazing. But it's so poignant in this version. It's it's just an amazing sequence. A really, really, to me, the high point of the film. And there are a lot of high points in this movie. Josh Brolin is awesome as Cable. Ryan Reynolds probably shouldn't do anything for the rest of his life except play Deadpool, because he's so damn good at it. It's so fun. Lee had mentioned, Lee, who can't be here because he's off having fun, unlike some of us.
Yeah.
really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And that's the point. Obviously, that's the point of this movie. This movie is not supposed to send a message other than, hey, you just had 2 fun hours at the theater. Absolutely. That's what it does. Again, this is a hard R-rated film. There is, I don't really want to say too much about it, but there is a callback to an iconic scene in an iconic film that is 20, 25 years ago, which is probably more than R-rated. So I'll just leave it at that, because I don't want to say any more about that particular scene, because it's hilarious and gross at the same time, because it's a Deadpool movie. So no, don't take your children to go see this movie unless you want them to see some of the most horrifying things you could possibly see. But super funny movie. Excellent. And again, that sequence was just beautiful. It was just really, really touching. And that shows that there's a lot going on with the filmmakers here other than just, oh, let's blow stuff up and stab people and do other heinous things with bodily parts. Very good movie. Really, really enjoyed it.
Did they make any comments on Domino's appearance?
They did not. It actually works better in the film than it's not as jarring. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay.
All right.
As far as the X-Force team, I'll just say they address it. I'll just put it that way.
Because that's the thing that's really bugging me about Deadpool 2 is that Domino and Shatterstar look remarkably unlike their counterparts.
They do. Although, you know, it doesn't bother me as much because these are not exactly iconic characters. And I imagine 5% of the audience knows what they're supposed to look like. Maybe 10 pushing it. So for most people, it's like, oh, cool. Never heard of this character.
Yeah, for me, I'm looking at Domino going, it looks like someone bleached Macy Gray's face. And that's not what the character looks like.
Which is a very cool, Domino is very well done, and I like it.
Okay.
The actress does a great job, but I like the way the part is written. They did a great job with it. Same with Cable. Cable comes off as very badass, which of course he should, but definitely more interesting than I thought the Cable character would be. So very cool. And Black Tom is fun, and they have a lot of fun with not in the movie a lot, as you had mentioned a few weeks ago. They cut the role down somewhat.
But right.
Black Tom's in there, and there is considerable fun to be had with Black Tom. And there is another character that shows up, which I don't believe is even alluded to in any of the previews, but it's a very cool character. Very, very fun, and adds a lot to the film. So I'll just say that. So there will be a surprise in the film that
surprises are good.
Cannot imagine anyone not enjoying this, because the character is extremely well done. Really enjoyed how they did that.
Well, let's see other Marvel news, because I have other Marvel news.
We love Marvel news
because things like that happen. Two of the screenwriters from the Infinity War, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, announced this. Well, it wasn't really an announcement. They were just interviewed this week, and they were talking about, where are those Marvel characters that are on Netflix? Why are they not in the Infinity War? Which I think that's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
and they said that if they put them in, it would just be a glorified cameo, and no one would be satisfied with that.
I'm thinking
that's wrong.
Yeah, why is it wrong?
I would have been, just having them, you know, oh, look, there they are in the background. Fine. At least we know they're there, you know, but continue to tie the universes back together, because they kind of, the TV universe and the cinematic universe seem to have drifted a bit.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
Here's an opportunity to tie it back together.
Yeah, I can see their point, because it would obviously it would just be a cameo, because that movie is chock full of characters as
it is. Oh, absolutely.
As for whether people wouldn't be satisfied, I think it would be cool to have seen them. But
Captain Marvel, satisfied is not the right word, but still.
It would have been cool. Would have been cool to have seen them. And we know they weren't going to have a major, or not likely to have any major influence on the plot, because there's too much going on. There isn't too much going on already, but that would have been really pushing it, I think. Right. I'm happy that the fact that we are getting some tie-in with the Captain Marvel film. So we just have a year to wait. So
yeah.
So that's cool. And what sounds like is going to be a pretty important tie-in. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I mean, I can see their point. It still would have been cool. But then you'd have the question, well, did they make it? And it would be more upfront. It's like, which of them drifted away? And, you know, hopefully none of them, because then you got to explain that in the TV show. And Daredevil 3 is coming soon. So season 3.
Yeah.
So it's probably just as well.
Let's see. Daredevil 3, Spider-Man 2, or whatever. Homecoming 2, Prom.
Homecoming again. Yeah, they really need to call it Spider-Man Prom, or
they should.
Spider-Man Field Trip or something. Don't just call it Spider-Man Homecoming 2. That's lazy. That's weak. Spider-Man Homecoming was cool, so stay with the school theme.
There's a bit of casting news with that this week.
There is, which is pretty cool.
I like it.
Yeah.
There's the official announcement that Michael Keaton will be returning as Vulture.
Which is very, very cool. I don't care if it's only 5 minutes. That's very cool.
Absolutely. And Jake Gyllenhaal is in talks to play Mysterio.
Gyllenhaal. I believe is how I pronounced it.
Sorry.
Conan O'Brien once. Yeah, I think that's awesome on two fronts. For one thing, Jake is pretty fun. That's very cool to have him in there.
Yes.
He can certainly play roles in this kind of film. Noted the really bad Prince of Persia movie that he made, which is better forgotten.
Oh, that was him, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I had forgotten about that movie altogether.
Wisely so. Not that it's terrible, it's just kind of there. You know, it's like, eh. I'd much rather have played the game for 2 hours than watch that movie. But he's an excellent actor, so that's very cool. But Mysterio is one of the coolest Spider-Man villains, and we haven't had him yet. And the job that Sony has done with Marvel's input, thank you, Marvel, Spider-Man Homecoming was awesome. So I have no reason to think they won't do a great job with Mysterio. I hope they don't screw up the look. There's some fan versions of how they think he should look. Posted on Reddit. Yes, exactly. It's like, just do the damn costume. Do it exactly. Because if you don't have the fishbowl, and if you don't know what we're talking about, just like Google Mysterio. If you don't have the fishbowl,
and if you get the professional wrestler, that's the wrong guy.
Yeah. It's just a guy in a weird suit with a big flowy cape. You have to have the big flowy cape. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's got to have the fishbowl. Don't make it a faceplate.
Not a transparent fishbowl. It's got to be the cloudy fishbowl.
It's got to be the cloudy fishbowl. This thing is, so many of the comments is like, oh, but you know, you can't have him in a fishbowl because then you can't see his face. It's like, have you not seen Iron Man? Dude, you see the actor a lot. Have you not seen, I don't know, Spider-Man? That's a character who wears a mask all the time. It's like, you get to see the person underneath a lot in these movies. It's like, where the hell have you been? Why are you even commenting on a comic book movie if you don't understand that, yes, you can have a mask that totally obscures the actor's face and still see a lot of the actor, dumbass.
You know, it's comments like that.
Yeah.
That move us on to our next story, which actually I've already done, but I'm going to add this extra bit to it. Next on the schedule is moving over to DC and talking about how Arrow is getting his goatee. But the headline that came with it was the goatee is coming to Arrow. And I knew what that meant because I am familiar with the character from the books where he has a goatee. Ta-da! One of the first comments under this, though, was, I've been looking up through the DC Universe encyclopedia for a while now. Who is the goatee?
Who is the goatee?
No. Dude. No. No, there is not a character called the goatee. It's
Now,
it really is facial hair.
I'm kind of thinking, and I understand a lot of people watching Arrow have not read any of the comic books.
No.
I get it. I understand that probably some of them have never seen any of the cartoons, which is kind of odd.
Well, actually,
that would be odd to me that if you've never read any of the comics, you've never seen any of the cartoons, but yet you're watching the show. That's kind of weird, but still.
Did you know that Green Arrow was the second of the... let's go back, do this a different way. Super Friends, right?
Super Friends.
You have the big four being Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, because, yes, he is actually a cool character. And then we lump Batman and Robin together as one entity in Super Friends. Those are the big four, or five, if you want to count Robin as a separate entity. The second character to be introduced that are not the big four in Super Friends was Green Arrow in a whopping one episode.
Poor Green Arrow.
The first one was Plastic Man, who popped up in a whopping one episode. Just throwing trivia about because I can.
Plastic Man is a fun character.
Very weird. He had to catch a mouse inside a computer in this episode. I know that because my daughter watched that episode again last night.
That sounds like a job for the Atom, actually. But anyway.
They had not introduced him yet. He came much later. Much like the DC Universe Superman 80th Anniversary Movie Collection, which I saw an ad for this week. It's coming out not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And I'll save everybody a lot of trouble. This is coming out on DVD and Blu-ray and download, etc., etc. But it is not the Christopher Reeve movies. It is not Man of Steel and Batman versus Superman. It's all the animated movies. Because I was looking at this going, maybe I should get this. What movies are listed? And it was Superman Doomsday, All-Star Superman, Superman Batman Public Enemies. I'm like, I've got these. These came out years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have them, then get this collection because it'll be cheaper that way. Otherwise, I can save you some money. Just consumer advice, I suppose.
You probably already have them. Exactly.
You should, because these are actually, they're really good.
At this point, yeah, if you like Superman, especially the animated take, you probably already would have them. But if you don't, or if you're missing a significant portion... There you go.
Worth getting. Other DC news, and this one hit yesterday, and I'll be honest, it kind of pissed me off.
Hmm.
Because it's people who don't know what they're doing. I guess this is back to who is the goatee. There was a headline about DC making a Lobo movie, which is apparently on its way. Now, the headline that annoyed me infinitely, DC is trying to copy Deadpool by making a Lobo movie. He's dark and gritty like Cable. Okay, let's back up.
Yeah.
Deadpool first appeared in 1991. Cable in 1990. Lobo in 83. How exactly did DC copy characters that wouldn't exist for another 7 years?
Well,
I know they have psychic characters, but they're not psychic themselves.
I can see where they're thinking maybe the film division is trying to copy the success of the Deadpool franchise, but still, there would be a different way to phrase that. Like,
very much so.
Specifically mention that as opposed to, they're trying to copy Deadpool. It's like,
look at this character. They're copying. No, they're not.
And no, they're not.
No. Doesn't count. But let's see. This isn't actually a copy story. It's a different thing. It's a TV series produced by Damon Lindelof, who is related to David Hasselhoff, I'm sure somehow. Alan Moore's keeps getting called an iconic comic series, The Watchmen. And I suppose it is. I've seen the movie a number of times. I've read the books. I'm going to go with painfully dark, really. It's darker than I like things to be. But that being said, being turned into a series for HBO, and they announced the plans for it, and I almost kind of sort of maybe get it. What he has said is that he doesn't want to remake the movie. He's not trying to remake the books. What he's doing is making a story that's set in the same universe as the books, only instead of being set in the 80s, it'll be set in the 90s. Instead of the characters that we know, it's going to be all new people. So I guess Watchmen, the Next Generation. Kind of. That's what I got. Is that what you got out of it? That's what I got out of it.
What I got out of it is that it makes me want to vomit.
Well, yeah, there is that.
He's one of the showrunners for Lost. Co-wrote
and he
Prometheus.
Seems to be still.
Which, Prometheus was just kind of like, kind of there. Co-writer of Tomorrowland, which I enjoyed Tomorrowland a lot, but could have been better. I do not, and as I mentioned, it's like, oh, let's make a Justice League movie, but I'll tell you what, we'll have all new characters and we'll call it a Justice League movie. What would be the point other than the tie-in of, oh, well, you know this title, so we'll trick you into watching it and it will be a completely different story.
Like the Fantastic Four movies.
You know, well, not really, because at least those were the same characters. They were done differently.
That's true.
But they were at least, they were the same characters. They were really poorly done for half of them. But this is absolutely stupid. Make a Watchmen series, great. Let's hear something about the characters. Do prequels. It's like, yeah, okay, if you know the Watchmen story, it would be kind of hard to do a Watchmen series based on the events of that show. But you're stealing the opportunity to watch Rorschach every week for a while. That's a freaking crime if you're going to do a Watchmen series.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this? The hell with this. This is absolutely ridiculous. Well, it's set in the same universe, except, well, let's see, it's 10 years later, and it's none of the same characters. That's kind of pointless, isn't it?
Well, I mean, that's where I'm going with, like, the Star Trek Next Generation concept, maybe. But you can't just call it Watchmen and expect people to show up, and because they're going to think, well, that's why they changed it from Star Trek to Star Trek the Next Generation. Oh, Next Generation. I guess Kirk isn't in it.
I think it's a farce. And
I was confused by the cast list.
I was too.
Because a lot of the actors that are in this are not young. Louis Gossett Jr., I'm glad to know he's not dead.
Yeah.
That's all I can say really about that. Don Johnson?
Yeah. Although, after I thought about it, it's like, I guess I'm not really confused about the cast list because I have no idea who they're playing because they're all new characters.
Well, that's true.
So, it's kind of a cool cast list, but it's like, I don't care. I don't care about new characters in the Watchmen universe. Zero interest. I was like, okay, is Nixon still going to be the president? Because that was one of the cool factors of that. That would be kind of cool if he's still the president, even another decade later than when he should have been gone.
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But it's just, to me, it's absolutely pointless.
Would you like some good news instead?
Yes, that would be a lovely tonic.
Well,
without the gin.
I have some good news then. Because it was originally on the schedule for 2019. But now, there is no Transformer movie scheduled to come out next year. It's allegedly been canceled.
Thank God for that. That is good news.
Good news. Good news.
I guess it's not that they're bad, per se.
Yeah, they are.
I'm not sure if I watched, if I missed the last two or just the last one. And that's the problem. As I honestly don't remember which one I had last seen, because it doesn't matter because they're all the same damn movie.
Over I watched the second one and then went, no, I'm done. Thank you.
It's the same damn thing. And, if it's entertaining to you, then fine, go watch it. Unlike Show Dogs, which should entertain nobody and don't have anyone go see it. Because Transformers isn't like stupid and offensive. It's just kind of lame and done that and done that and done that, and it's done over and over, and it's the same damn story basically over and over.
Yeah,
and
much.
It's just such a such a formulaic thing. It's like, and again, if you like him, fine, but geez,
I don't
no
I
don't
care for it at all.
It's not that I dislike them when I watch them, but I don't feel that I've seen anything new from the very first one they did, which was okay.
I think the first one had its moments, but then they did fart jokes, and I'm like, they're robots. Why? No, that doesn't even begin to make sense.
Well, you know, the fart jokes are in there for the 8-year-olds, because 8-year-olds like fart jokes.
Let me examine your camshaft. Mm. I'm a stranger. No. All right.
Men in Black 4.
Yes. Men in Black 4 is coming. And they announced this week that Liam Neeson is going to be in charge of the London division of the Men in Black.
That's fun.
That could be something, I suppose.
No, Rip Torn's dead, so someone's got to do the job. Based on the third one, I like that. Although, to me, Josh Brolin was far and away the high point of Men in Black 3. Doing a dead-on Tommy Lee Jones. That was by far the most enjoyable part to me. Although the Men in Black thing is a lot like the Transformers. It's like, yeah, okay, that's cool. You've seen it. So they've got to kind of break new ground, which would not mean all new characters.
Yeah.
Not that Men in Black is as iconic as the Watchmen thing, although it is based, of course, on a graphic novel. A series of comics. And I can't recall his name, but he lives in Knoxville. Very cool guy.
Really?
Right. Exactly. Totally got hosed on the deal, too, which was sad.
That is true.
But common.
Let's see. TV news, because we have some. Starting with, the co-creators of Once Upon a Time and Tron Legacy, Adam Horowitz and Edward Kitsis. Dude, you need a vowel. Kitsis. I guess. They're going to be rebooting Amazing Stories for Apple TV. I kind of like the idea of rebooting Amazing Stories.
Yeah.
Not sure about the Apple TV part.
Yeah, I don't. That's since I don't have it, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't either.
And I'm not about to get it because I already have too many subscription things. But yeah, that's cool.
I think that has potential.
You know why it's cool? Lindelof. Because it wasn't a set roster of characters. That's why you can reboot this, because it's an anthology. It's not like a series of characters that were all critically important to the show. So don't do what you're going to do with Watchmen. Cheesehead. Oh, Lowell Cunningham, the name of the creator, basically, of Men in Black. Like I said, very cool. Very cool series.
Let's see, other TV. We've got a lot of TV news for the rest of the show, really. Nope, there's trailers. Announced a little while ago, the sci-fi show The Expanse was canceled by sci-fi, but just picked up by Amazon for season 4. So if you're a fan of that, it's not dead. Just subscribe to Amazon. Mentioned this one off the air last week, but I'll mention it here anyway because we're talking about things like this. The USA Network mysteriously canceled WWE SmackDown. And it's going to move somewhere else. I don't know where. It's just an odd thing that, you know, TV shows moving around this year with The Expanse and, Brooklyn Nine-Nine moving from Fox to NBC. And I'm sure there will be others.
Which, by the way, Fox will be carrying SmackDown.
Oh, that's official now?
Mm-hmm. October of 2019.
Wow. Pushing that out a bit.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the heck is going on there. Anyway, okay.
Could be a typo. Who knows? This week, a bunch of trailers came out for upcoming TV shows. And some of them I was interested in, some of them I wasn't. Magnum P.I., though. I want to start with that one. Which, actually, it looks an awful lot like the original series to me. Apart from... Oh, geez. Now I forgot. Who owned the mansion and had the dogs?
I can't think of the guy's
name.
Had
a mustache.
Yeah. I don't know. That guy.
Anyway, it's a girl now. Yeah. There's a difference.
Which is cool. Which is fine.
Don't have a problem with that. I did spend a lot of time cringing during the trailer, though, because they wrecked 3 Ferraris.
Hopefully.
And every time they did, I'm like, oh, don't. No, that's. That was a 458. You can't do that to a... Ooh. Ow. Don't do... Anyway. Enough of the Ferrari. Did you see that one? Have any opinions on it?
I did. I never really cared for the show. I mean, not that I didn't like the show, but it just wasn't like, oh, I got to watch Dragon Piano.
Ooh, it's there.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. It's like, it's kind of a fun show. It's whatever.
Right.
It looks fine. It's not like the show is 5 years old and they're rebooting it and changing everything. And so it was like, cool. Like I said, it was a fun show. Obviously had a zillion fans. The characters in the reboot all look fine. So looks like it'll be pretty cool. I like the fact that they set up immediately major issues in the trailer, which is cool because that gives it an edge that I don't really recall the other one having. So at least in Atlantic, the very start. So overall, I would say good job.
Apart from that Murder, She Wrote crossover, which was just spectacular.
I think fans of the original show, yes, they'll miss Tom Selleck, but just go watch Blue Bloods if you still pine for the mustache. But overall, I like it. Looks like it's promising.
Saw the trailer for the new Charmed series, too, which I kind of had to watch because everyone in my family, except me, really loved Charmed.
Girl power!
And that's fine. I don't dislike the show, although... what was her name from 90210 who started out on Charmed?
Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty. Yeah. Didn't care for her. Still don't, actually. That's just me.
No, that's because she's a heinous human being, apparently.
Oh, that's what it was. Anyway, she's not in this version.
Yay!
but it looked an awful lot more like... I think my middle daughter nailed this. She said it looks like a cross between Buffy and Murder, She Wrote. And I'm like, you know what? I think it is.
Well,
which is not it's not a bad thing.
I was going to say, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Both very successful shows. Never really got into Buffy. Never really got into Charmed. I've seen a few episodes. So this is a...
There was the one wrestling episode where they got to beat up Booker T.
Well, I should have watched that one. I'll have to look for that because it's always fun to see Booker T taking a whipping. Booker T is awesome. I love Booker T. I don't really care, since I didn't care about the original show, I don't really care about this one. But yeah, if it looks like a crossover between Buffy and Murder, She Wrote, that sounds like a pretty cool... To me, that sounds like that's a pretty cool series.
That's a formula.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with that. A lot of TV is based on formulas sometimes, and sometimes they're good formulas, and that sounds good.
Did any of the... Because I sent you a link with a bajillion... series on it. Were there any that stood out to you that you liked?
What was the one that stood out to me? I'm going back in my teeny tiny little brain and trying to remember which one that was. And I don't remember offhand. It was... Nope. That's not the TV show. While we're thinking
I'm trying to figure out where I put the link.
I'm looking for the link too. While we're thinking of that, I did want to mention something about the box office. There's a story about why is Solo flying so low at the box office, because it's only targeted for only $114 million for a Memorial weekend, which, granted, is somewhat, I mean, considering the success that some movies have had this year, like Black Panther, like Infinity Wars, not exactly a huge opening. We get that. Let's see. How much did Deadpool do on its opening week?
Deadpool is up to $364 million.
See, Deadpool did $125 in its opening. I'm sorry.
That's domestically.
That was the weekend. Did $164 for the whole week, but the weekend, opening weekend, did $125. Deadpool 2. So I can see that you would say, well, if Deadpool 2 made $125 and we've got the first Solo, pun intended, bad pun, sorry, Han Solo movie, and it's doing $10 million less, that would be disappointing. I can see that. You would think it would do better than that. A lot of the commentary that you're seeing online is not so much, doesn't have so much to do with the film itself. It's just a lot of distributors are kind of feeling it's just fatigue because there've just been too many Star Wars movies, and they're just kind of like piling up. They're not events anymore, which is the same thing that's happened with NFL. And people talk, why are NFL ratings going down? It's like, well, because there's too much of it, for one thing. You've got Thursday night games. Monday night was the one that was the event, And now they've diluted it because, oh, there's Thursday night games, there's occasional Saturday games. You know, there's just too much of it. So it's not that big a deal to catch the one outlier. And I absolutely think that's it. It's just, if they've kind of oversaturated, they need to kind of slow down the pace, which is hard when you know you're going to make $500 or $600 million every time you release something, and that would be considered bad.
Yeah.
But haven't seen it yet. I'll see it. It looks like it will be fun. Basically, it boils down to I really don't care to see anyone other than Harrison Ford play Han, which is kind of silly because Ewan McGregor was awesome as Obi-Wan, did a fantastic job. So it's kind of silly to say, well, I don't want to watch it because it's a different actor. But he's in the film so much more than Obi-Wan was in the original. Makes that part of the difference, too. So anyway, I'll see it eventually.
Oops, I missed something. Going back to a TV thing. Lucifer, which was on Fox.
Yes.
Which is really a DC comic, if you want to be picky. it has been canceled, but this Monday they're still airing two more episodes. They apparently filmed several episodes out of order, and there were two that they had filmed for season four. But since there isn't a season four, they're just going to go ahead and release them. So they're airing two episodes back to back. Check your local Fox affiliate for times and whatever else you need to know.
And the fact that, like you said, Amazon's picking up The Expanse, it will wind up on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon almost guaranteed, because it does have a following.
It does.
And it would be shocking if it didn't get picked up by one of those, honestly. I'm surprised that Constantine wasn't picked up. Of course,
I am astounded. I was actually watching what was it? Justice League Dark I watched again this morning.
Cool.
Because I woke up early, and Constantine is in that, with the same actor even. And
yes. Which was very cool that they did that. Lucifer has been on, is it three seasons now?
It's three seasons.
Yeah, so obviously it's got a lot more momentum than Constantine did, although I liked Constantine more than Lucifer.
Considerably better.
I saw like almost most of the first season of Lucifer, and it's just a matter of there's so much to watch now. So that's why. Yeah. I mean, I really like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Haven't even watched this season. And it's over. So, and
yeah,
there's so much stuff.
That happens now.
Oh, yeah, it does. The other trailer, the other TV upcoming series that I watched, the only one I was really interested in is Murphy Brown.
Right.
That looks, it's an interesting.
Which is more of a continuation, really.
Yeah, exactly. They're continuing because it's the original, as much of the original cast as they can get. They're the same characters. I love that. Because it's been a few minutes since Murphy Brown was on. The character is perfect for these times because the character was very outspoken and did not appreciate the status quo when Murphy Brown was originally on. I am thrilled that this is coming back because the trailer looks great. The trailer absolutely looks great. Now, it's intercut with a lot of clips from the original show, but it totally works because I kind of hope they actually do it in this show, which might be kind of weird in a way, but I think we're at the point now where people can deal with that. Storytelling doesn't have to be quite so linear and formulaic, and it's like, okay, this is what's happening. I think it would work with flashbacks, and they don't have to say remember when. It's like I would just have jump cut and go right into it and then tie it into something that's going on now. And I doubt that they would do that, because that would be kind of weird. Totally worked for the trailer though. This looks very, very fun. And again, Murphy Brown, the character Candace Bergen, was just great in the show, and she plays this really acerbic borderline evil
yeah.
character, because she's so ruthless and controlling, but obviously she's a good person, but she's very, very fun to watch. It's almost like, and more people will probably be familiar with it than the show Murphy Brown. It's almost like the Devil Wears Prada, but in a newsroom. Just the controlling factor that Murphy has, and everyone is terrified of her. It was such a cool show, so I'm really thrilled that this is coming back. I really, really like that.
It's been a few minutes since it's been on. While you were doing that, I was listening, but I did calculate it. It has been approximately 10,529,280 minutes.
So is it over 30 years or is it just under 30?
That's too many.
Anyway.
7,312 days.
It's a lot of days, man. A little less than I thought then. Anyway.
Sorry, just...
Very fun.
Just throwing it out.
And what do you think?
I think it's going to be a good show. And it's something that I think would work really well today.
Oh, yeah.
It worked well back then. It's going to work even better now, I think.
Yeah, because the times have changed somewhat. So that's really, out of all those trailers, which, let's see, let's go through them. We already talked about Magnum P.I. All-American, which is about, and it's on the CW, about a football player. That's all you need to know. Some show called The Rookie, Whiskey Cavalier, which I like the title. I don't even care about who's in it or what it's about. Grand Hotel. Ugh. You mentioned Charmed. The Passage. Charmed. Don't care. The Fix. Don't care. FBI. Oh, we haven't have enough of those procedural type things. Proven Innocent. God, God Friended Me will be one that I will totally not be watching. Yeah, most of these are just kind of not interested enough to even like look at the trailer, but Murphy Brown by far the most interesting one to me, followed by Magnum PI, because actually it looks like it'll be pretty cool.
Do you think any of them, and this is a segue to, because I've run out of stuff, our closing segue, do you think any of them will end up being the greatest TV program of all time?
No, I don't. Although Martin Mull is in one called The Cool Kids, so there you are.
Hey,
but
not bad.
Speaking of the greatest TV program of all time,
of the week.
Of the week. I believe you have something to say on this topic, sir.
I do, and there's even news about it.
Woo!
What a concept. I was debating between two, and then I saw a news article come across about. I think it's a very underrated show, even though a lot of people rate it quite highly. I think it's even more underrated than that. Babylon 5, which a lot of people looked at and went, oh, it's a cheap ripoff of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. No, it is actually the original premise of Deep Space Nine. Let me explain. When they went from Next Generation and said they wanted to do a spinoff, but have it take place on a space station, there were two ideas put forth. One by Rick Berman, which was Deep Space Nine. He put it out after a guy named Joe Michael Straczynski, who oddly enough has written Murder, She Wrote episodes, just because that show keeps getting brought up during this episode. Anyway,
weird.
J. Michael Straczynski put forth the idea of Babylon 5. And they went with Rick Berman instead because he already worked with Star Trek. Fine, I get that. Warner Brothers came along and said, we'll turn it into a syndicated program. Now, one of the reasons I think this is such an awesome show is it's not the acting. The acting in places is questionable. In some places, it's awesome. But it's one of those things. It's the storyline. And the remarkably... scientifically accurate special effects. A lot of people see, like in Star Trek, we saw the Enterprise. We need to turn around and go the other direction. So it does this big arcing turn with the Enterprise. That's not how space works. If you need to make a U-turn in space, you fire rockets on both sides of your ship. Some of them going forward, some of them going backwards, and you just flip the ship around. There's no gravity.
And you could flip it upside down because there's no gravity.
They do that in this show. In dogfights, which is awesome. I'm being chased by someone. Flip the ship around. Bang! Got you. Ha ha. And people would complain. Oh, you can't do that. Yeah, you can. NASA watched this show and said, if we were going to make spaceships that did what they need to do in this show, that's what they would look like. That's how we would do them. Which immediately, credibility, ooh, look at that go up. the storyline for this, which was incredible. And I think for me, it added a little bit because I met J. Michael Straczynski just before the show started.
Really?
I met him at the Consumer Electronics Show in Chicago in 93. Very cool guy. And I asked him about this because I knew the show was coming up. And he told me, that the first season of the show, there's going to be a lot of it that doesn't make sense. But if you stick around to the even just the first episode of season two, so many things are going to make sense, and you are going to want to watch the rest of the series. I said, how much of it have you gotten it? How much of the series have you written already? He said, all of it.
I remember you mentioning this before, that the whole thing.
He wrote all 5 years before they started filming. Now, some changes did have to be made, but I mean, the planning in this show is incredibly well done.
Now, let me interrupt for just a brief moment here.
You go right ahead.
By five, do you think he actually meant 5 years of scripts were done? Or yes. More a loose, oh, wow, so actually.
5 years of scripts, wow. He kept them in a safe.
That's crazy.
And because, I think pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, because frankly, you can tell by watching most TV shows, they haven't planned more than a year ahead.
That's why the continuity in this show is phenomenal.
That's amazing.
Here's a good example of this. There was the concept of Babylon 5. Babylon 5 is a space station. It is the fifth in the series of Babylon stations. Thus the name Babylon 5. 1, 2, and 3 blew up.
Ouch.
4 disappeared. No one knows what happened to it, kind of, until halfway through season 1, it just reappears. Poof. Ooh, there it is. So they go and rescue everyone on Babylon 4. But they still don't really know what happened to it. There's this one fuzzy dude named Zathras, who is an awesome character in season 3, when we see him again. But when we see him in this episode, you're kind of going, who is this guy? This is just a really weird episode. And when they filmed it in season 1, they took some extra shots with some of the characters. And this made sense excellently because the guy who played Michael Garibaldi, for example, in season 1, he was kind of trim and had a kind of an odd haircut, really. By the time season 3 rolled around, he had gotten a bit chunkier and lost his hair. So the extra scenes they filmed in season 1 fit in perfectly when they figured out what happened to Babylon 4 halfway through season 3. When they interspliced the, by the way, here's what happened in season 1 when you weren't looking, that's when they put that scene in. I'm hoping this makes sense.
It does make sense.
It worked beautifully. And it was planning like that throughout the entire series. It is one massive, cohesive storyline. I think the one thing that I'm going to mention that people did not like about it originally, and you have to get used to this, is the hair of a character named Londo Mollari. He is a Centauri. That's where they are from. They're Centauri. He has a big peacock-looking hair thing going. And people looked at it and said, his hair looks really stupid. And you know what? When you first look at it, it does.
His hair does look really stupid.
But when you get used to the character and understand it, it really makes sense for his hair to be that way. In a sense. It was always supposed to be big and peacockish. But there's a story behind it, which I found on a DVD extra. Which would be, apparently somewhere during season 3. Season 3 is a big thing. I don't know. Anyway, the actor who played Londo Mollari, Peter Jurassic, who is really excellent in this series, you will go from thinking Londo Mollari is, oh, he's a comic character. No, he's an evil bad guy. I want to kill him. No, he's sympathetic. I like him. You will have a wide range of emotions with this character because he's that well done. Apparently, he came out of his dressing room, though, threw the hairpiece across the set and said, damn it, why does this hairpiece have to be the big peacock thing? And Straczynski looked at him and said, well, you remember when we first gave it to you and we didn't have a budget for many makeup people and I said, just go put this on, and you came out with the peacock thing? And he goes, yeah, I remember that. Well, I actually wanted it to be put on the other way around. But you came out and you seemed so happy with it, we just kind of went that way and well, it's season three. We can't really change it now. And he's like, wait, so you're saying I put this on upside down? Yeah, kind of. Okay. Damn. So that's the story behind the hair, according to a DVD extra.
He put it on upside down.
I've tried to picture it upside down, and it doesn't work in my head. But you know what? Yeah, that's fine.
I'm trying to figure out how you could put... No, well.
It for the Centauri, the bigger the hair, the higher social standing you have.
Yeah, but I'm...
And it worked. And yeah, don't try to picture it upside down. It'll make your head hurt. And I'm not sure how much accuracy is with that story.
Must have made his head hurt. The only way I can picture it upside down is as a beard.
It could have been. I don't know. But the character is excellent. Actually, how's this? There's another character on the show.
You've mentioned that character before a few times and your extreme love for the character. Well, not extreme, but, you know, that is an excellent character.
What, Londo? Londo is an excellent character.
Yeah.
There's another character on the show, though, named Alfred Bester.
Really?
Who is played by Walter Koenig. Yes, that Walter Koenig of Star Trek. Chekhov. Everyone loves Chekhov, right? How adorable and cute Chekhov was on Star Trek. In Babylon 5, he plays Alfred Bester, who is a psy-cop. He goes around and hunts rogue telepaths for the humans. And you will, by the time this series is done, you will not only hate Al Bester, you will hate Walter Koenig, and you will think Chekhov needs to be shot out of a photon torpedo tube.
That's awesome.
He is, to me, the most evil character in the history of television.
Wow. Now, see,
he plays it beautifully.
You made me really want to watch Babylon 5 now. But seriously.
Well,
now,
there's good news.
Even before that. Yes, give me the good news.
The good news is, because Babylon 5 was inexplicably not available for streaming anywhere.
Right.
Until June, when it comes to Amazon Prime.
Really? Because I've been looking. I've been listening, but I've also been looking. It's like, you can buy it in a lot of places.
I have.
Yeah.
And it honestly, it really is worth it. The special effects in this show, I would like to point out, I always thought were better than Star Trek.
Really?
They were really, really well done. And more, like I said, with the whole NASA thing, more scientifically accurate.
I just love the fact that Koenig's character was named Alfred Bester. He's like one of the seminal science fiction authors. That's why I was like, Alfred Bester really is like, he wrote one of my favorite science fiction, well, one of my favorite novels, period, ever, The Demolished Man, which is... Every once in a while, there's rumors they're going to make a movie of it, and then it falls apart. Oh, my God. This would...
Well, there's references like that all through here. There's a recurring transport ship called the Asimov.
That's very cool.
And if you think that the Star Trek people are not happy with this, there's a ton of Star Trek cameos through this.
That's cool.
Even Majel Barrett, Gene
really?
Roddenberry's wife,
really?
Was in this show. God, I can't remember who played Reg Barkley. Yeah. Dwight Schultz. There we go. Had a very good role on this. There's a lot of, it takes place at, what is it? Is it 5 or 10 years after the Earth war with the Minbari? And the Minbari were kicking Earth's ass and just kind of went, never mind. And disappeared for a while. And everyone went, wait, what? Why did you do that? We find out throughout the series. And as we do, we kind of go,
nice.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's very well done. It's one of those series that, yes, it's long. Yes, it's 5 seasons of 20-something episodes each. But it is so worth it. It really is.
Very, very cool.
Yes.
And a lovely synopsis of the show, and now you make me wish it was almost June, or that it was June, because I'm definitely going
5 days left.
I'm going to definitely add that. And by the way, thank you, hurricane season, for jumping the gun on the hurricane season, because we have a tropical storm in the Gulf, and there's a cyclone about to hit, actually already is hitting Oman and Yemen in the Middle East, which is really fun, because they've only had one hurricane ever make landfall in Yemen. I was just reading the other day, and now here's the second one, so yay, global warming. bastards.
Global climate change. Otherwise, you'll confuse the poor Republic. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go there.
The good news is the report is that they expect all of the tropical storms in general to be slower moving, therefore last longer, therefore create more damage. Yay. Just like Irma and Harvey did last year, because that's why
stock up on your movies now.
That's why they did so much damage, because they just sat there and pounded the crap out of everything for like a day and a half or two, instead of the usual, we're here, we're gone, 4 hours later, you're done. You know, on one band of it. So fun times are ahead. Yay. So yes.
So go out and see a movie.
Stock up. Go see Deadpool 2. Probably go see Solo. Which I know you haven't seen Deadpool 2, obviously, yet. Because
not yet.
Otherwise you would talk about it. So yes. Do you have plans to catch it this weekend?
No. Deadpool 2 is going to be one of those things that I'm going to have to wait on for a while.
Because it's a holiday weekend and you also have people in your life.
Yeah. I have peeps.
You have peeps.
And a snake.
And soon to be a snake. Has the snake come home yet?
The snake is on its way home now.
It's not home yet. I wonder how big the snake is. Do you know how big the snake is?
It is currently 1 foot.
Oh.
It'll grow up to 4 feet.
I was hoping you'd tell me it was a python. I was hoping for like a reticulated python, something we get like
I'm still trying to get her to name it Monty, but she won't.
A nice 28-foot python. That would be fun.
No.
Anyway,
a
shout-out to Lee, who will hear this someday, but he's having fun because he's a fun-loving guy. So good for you, Lee. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
And you know what? Everybody else, enjoy the rest of your weekend, too. Happy, I've forgotten which holiday this is, Memorial Day.
Wait. One last question.
Yes.
Are you having a cookout / barbecue? And... if you have
in this rain, no.
It's not raining here at the moment. We have
it's raining here.
We have a window. It might not rain for an hour and a half. Which, by the way, this came up on the local sports radio thing, and they're absolutely right.
Dun, dun, dun.
If you're cooking hot dogs and hamburgers, that's not a barbecue. That's a cookout.
Yeah.
If you're having a barbecue.
I'm sorry, was that a question?
You have to have something that is barbecued. Apparently, a lot of people use the terms interchangeably. They are not interchangeably. Do not invite people over to a barbecue without having barbecue present, because they may kill you and you would deserve it.
I have barbecue in my freezer.
I'm about to
make. And I will not be getting it out until after it stops raining.
I'm about to make barbecue. I'm headed over to my local Publix to pick up a fine selection of pork loin, in which I will then barbecue. But...
I keep trying to go to Publix, but I keep leaving the L out of it, so it confuses the crap out of my GPS.
I'm sad to know that your GPS recognizes that term. That says a lot about you, Rob.
let's not go there.
Oh, and by the way, don't go see show dogs.
Don't go see show dogs. Go see Deadpool. And in the meantime, have a good holiday weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.